Okay. We're glad that everyone was able to make it. We're up here trying to understand what's going on around us, and what things we have to deal with. Okay. I was speaking with, we were talking earlier before everybody got on in reference to the system and the societies that we have today, which is varying from what it was in the past. So we want to try to understand in the ancient world, we had everyone using herbs, the Aborigines and everyone on the planet. So every culture you go to, they would heal each other through the herbs that were for the service of man, humans, and also for the leaves or for the healing of the nation. And so for some strange reason, everybody on the planet was doing it. It didn't matter if you was in Asia, Africa, the Americas, Central America, South America, it didn't matter where you was on the planet. Every culture, every group of people was practicing herbs and the healing of the nation. Now that was a system that was set up by who? How in the world did everybody on the planet was practicing herbs? I'm going to tell you, you know, hey, the people from Mars came here or from Venus or what they call them, the Greys or the, some other names they make up for these people, for these extraplanetary people. And they called them, and they'll say all of these people, they were, you know, and in Africa, you know, we had our universities, and while the Europeans were in barbarism, while they were still living in caves. And so societies were flourishing around the world. So when the Spaniards came here, they saw the Maya Indians and their civilization. They saw all of these different places while these guys were, you know, over there joking. And so these things dated way back prior to any European being found on the planet having a history or anything. So basically what actually happened, that now the Europeans, since they claim to have, you know, authority over everybody and their history's right, even though we know that they rewrote history from a European standpoint, according to Josephus, is that they're the amalgamation of history, and they inserted themselves into history when they did not exist. And so now they're rewriting all history to reflect them, and if they were, you know, it was something when they were living in caves, running around like, you know, 2000 BC. I think they have a movie out, 2000 BC or something like that, and it's showing, you know, them running around with caves and, you know, hunting down mammoths and all this crazy stuff. So that's how they came into their history. While they were doing that, we were flourishing with colleges and universities. And we had, you know, herbal remedies and so forth. So the question is, they asked the question, where did black people get that stuff from? Where did people of color people, they weren't supposed to have that technology because the Europeans didn't have it. And so since this was going on around the world, everybody had, and in all of these different places that you'll find in Americas, that you'll find in, they even claim in Russia and China and so forth, all these places, do you know that you'll find pyramids? You find pyramids in all of these places where they had this technology of herbs and so forth. They all have different types of pyramids. Now, some people are trying to say the Europeans were trying to say, well, since we wasn't civilized, it was impossible for people of color, Africans, to have such a society. So they must have learned it from aliens. Okay, so that's their excuse of, you know, denying us, you know, technology and the ability to think. So nobody can deny it. So the question lies, I remember speaking with the Momos. They had mentioned a family from Africa in Nigeria. They were having a baby, and the boy baby, and they had a niece come over to help the mom with cleaning the baby, caring the baby for 40 days because she was not allowed to do any work. She was what the Bible calls unclean. She wasn't able to do work, so somebody had to help her and so forth. That was to help her mend. And if it was for a girl, it would have been 80 days that they would have someone to help her and do all of these different things. And so I asked them, where did y'all get those numbers from for 40 and 80 to recover? And they said that's the way it's been from the beginning of time, from time and memorial. I said, wow, you don't know where you got that from. Do you know that's in the Bible? The Bible literally says that a woman, she's not supposed to do anything. She's unclean for 80 days if she has a girl and for 40 days if she has a boy. And they didn't even know that. But my point was that the Bible and the ancient world was part of the was not part of the European pagan society, but it was part of the African society. And it was also, I remember they talked about circumcision. They knew circumcision originated way back in Egypt. So when Abraham is circumcised his son, his wife already knew how to circumcise him. And the Moses, when Moses, his son was supposed to be circumcised, he didn't circumcise him, so his wife circumcised him. And she was an African. She was an Ethiopian. So these cultures and the stuff that's already in, and it says that if you circumcise, that shows that you have a connection, that you are Yahweh's people. And that was a covenant between Yahweh and his people. So if the Egyptians had it before the Hebrews existed, and if the Ethiopians had it, and all of these people and the Arabs and all of these civilizations had that, then the question is, well, where did they get that from? Were they the people of Yahweh before the Hebrews came around? Yeah, that's clear. So these people were learning these different things from Yahweh, and Yahweh was teaching them. And it teaches all of that for the first three civilizations. When you read in Genesis chapter 2, it gives you where the four rivers came from, and those were the three civilizations that existed that Yahweh had raised up and had taught. So what we find, that was in the heart of Africa, that extended into what we call Arabia, all of those areas. And so in Egypt, when the priests taught different things and they learned different things, their job was to go out into the world and teach other civilizations of how to, you know, spread the knowledge. And so that's how they were able to spread the knowledge, and people all over the planet was keeping the same thing, except for the Europeans. Because they were, you know, they were barbarians, and they were living in caves. You know, they were cavemen, according to them. So they wasn't down with, you know, what was going on. And so in this quest, in this existence, we have herbs and the healing of the nations being practiced. So that was one system that was given from the Creator to human beings who were Africans and people of color, and it spread to all of the people of color around the world, except the Europeans. For some reason, you know, they were left out. But whatever. So when we come to two systems, we're talking about another system that is outside the system of the ancient world that was practiced through herbs and healing. Okay, now what is this other system? Okay, so, well, before we even jump into that other system, let's get some more into the creative system. I was down in the National Museum of American History. And when I was down there, I saw some very interesting things that were being practiced and gone over. And what I found was that they were teaching how to live in harmony with the universe. And they did. For a while, they lived in there. So if you turn with me on page number 3, around midway down, I rehearsed this situation. And I wanted to make some clarity on it. It's the next to last paragraph. And it says, I remember being at the National Museum of the American Indian and starting on the fourth floor. It rang out to me and others that their culture was tied together and dependent on them living in harmony with the Creator and His natural law. Then that's interesting. Then it says, this was the basic knowledge given to them from childhood and repeated over and over again in their youth, adulthood, and to the elderly. Each generation was to pass it on to the next generation. Grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, teenagers, and children were lectured over and over again until it was part of their very being, mental, physical, and spirituality. They gave an example of one clan forsaking their lifestyle and everything in nature, turning on them. Okay, so what I was trying to say there was when they gave up the clan, when they forsook the lifestyle, everything in nature turned on them. So that means they stopped following, living in harmony. They stopped being sustainable. They stopped doing all that and, you know, started doing crazy stuff. Now, when that happened, then their crops did not grow. Their rain did not come at the right time. Disease started to kill them off. And then all of a sudden, an inspirational young boy came to the clan and said, these things are happening to us because we have forsaken the path of living in harmony with the Creator and His Lord, living sustainably. They listened to this young boy and went back to living in harmony with the plan of the great architect of the universe, our Creator. And everything started to work out for them simply by yielding to sustainable living. So I thought that was very, you know, very interesting because the example that they just gave of the boys being basically a prophet to them and them following the prophet and following and getting back in harmony with nature and the Creator, then everything started working out. And so that's the way, that's what the Bible is always teaching us. The Bible is teaching us, you know, as we go through the Bible and we read about the Hebrews, they follow Yahweh, then they have Yahweh bless them, then they forsake Yahweh, then they get cursed and they get wiped out, then they follow Yahweh again, Then Yahweh blesses them. Then they forsake Yahweh. Then he wipes them out. So it's just a constant going on. The same story that the Native Americans were saying was happening to them, was happening in the Bible. And I'm like, wow. So this principle was being taught, this system of living sustainable, was a necessity. And so it is today. We're coming down to the same thing today. Today we find ourselves in the same exact situation, that we have been polluting the planet. We've been killing off animals. They've been massacring the buffaloes. I mean, they've just been wiping out everything on the planet. Acid rain, because they want to pump out all this coal, putting in the air, pollute the air, all these cars polluting the air, everything, the burning energy so you can turn electricity on in your house, burning oil, fossil fuel, poisoning the planet, using oil, pumping it out of the ground, and then you have the spill in the water, and it kills off all the fish. We have high levels of mercury in the ocean. We now in space, we got space garbage up there. They visit the space, they dumped a bunch of garbage up there. So it's, and it's hitting satellites. The garbage is hitting satellites, knocking them out of the sky. It's insane what we have done under the European rule. Okay? We've been following these people, and they have taken us to hell. And people are living under them, under hell. They're bombing people. They're wiping out populations like the Native Americans. They gave them, you know, smallpox, and they said they're giving you quilts and all that, and they got smallpox, disease them, kill them, wipe them out, put them on concentration camps called reservations, enslave the African Americans and chain them. So they have, this is their life of Christianity, they call it, of how they, you know, Christianize in the world in the name of Jesus. So we see all of this going on. We see how it's just wiping out the whole planet. And so we need, and so today we're hearing people saying we need to live sustainable. Water level, the heat, the earth is heating up 5 degrees higher than it ever been for the last 6,000 years. We've done it in the last, 100 years or 50 years. What took 6,000 years to increase the temperature of the earth, we've done in less than 100 years, maybe 75 to 50 years. We've done it by polluting and killing and wiping out and so forth. So now we have water in the glaciers melting, the water levels are rising, islands are disappearing, different things that you were able to see when I was a kid you can't see no more. Before I existed, my grandfather and grandmother, what they saw don't exist anymore because the planet is just being destroyed, and it's like living totally out of harmony. So now we hear a cry from the rest of the world, not America, from the rest of the world. In India and China, everybody's trying to live, wanting that young people are clamoring to understand that if we continue this way by 2050, 50, or even before, that they won't be able to live. The world will be basically destroyed. So we are bringing Armageddon, we're bringing last day events on ourselves because we are violating the laws of the Creator. Just as this little story about the boy and their family and their clan and what happened to them, the same thing when we read in the Bible says that, you know, he pulled us out of Egypt and he took us and he gave us the land of Canaan, the milk and honey. He wiped out the people over there so that we could move in because they forsook Yahweh. That's the only reason why, you know, that happened. Because the people in Africa and the people in Canaan were following Yahweh before there was a such thing as an Abraham or a Hebrew. So they were following him for the first 2,000 years. They forsook him. Then Yahweh said, okay, since you guys ain't following no more, I'm going to bring in these Hebrews, and they're going to follow me. So then the next 2,000 years, from 4,000 B.C. until around 0, 2,000 B.C., the Africans were the ones following Yahweh. Then they stopped following Yahweh. Then he took and brought the Hebrews in and had them wipe out the Canaanites. Then they stopped following Yahweh. And now this is the most interesting part of it, that the Bible says that if you, says the Hebrews, if you guys forsake me and stop keeping my Sabbaths and my Shabbats and my sabbaticals, and that if you don't let the land rest and all of those things, that, hey, the land will spew you out as it is spewing out the inhabitants of the Canaanites. So the reason why the Canaanites lost is because they were being spewed out by Mother Nature or by the Creator or by the Architect of the Universe or whatever you want to call it. And then when the Hebrews went in, they started following Yahweh. Then they forsook him. And then he said, hey, man, you guys forsake me. Hey, I ain't got no, you know, I'm going to wipe you out too. So then they started being wiped out during the time of the judges. They lost their land. Other people were running it. Then they cried out to Yahweh, oh, Yahweh, please help us. Okay, save them, you know, all type of things. Then Yahweh said, you need to follow me. And then we said, okay, we'll have a theocracy. Then we said, hey, okay, in the time of the judges, after the judges were over, we said, we don't want no more judges. We don't like Moses. We don't like any of these guys. We want to have our own king. And so he said that under the Samuel, he said that that's the most wicked thing you could ever do, is to set up man in the place of Yahweh. Amen. All right, now we're getting somewhere. So we had a theocracy at the time of Moses all the way down to the judges. What does that mean, a theocracy? That means that Yahweh is in charge. The creator of the universe is running things, and you are allowing him to do that. So they didn't have a king. So when you had questions or so forth, you went to the priest and you went to the prophet, okay? And then when things got out of hand, then he would raise up a judge, okay? And so the judge would judge them and would be over them. And then they had women judges also. So we have this transition that Yahweh is picking these people out. There is no lineage that, you know, hey, you, David, you could take his son, Solomon, you take his son. No. There was none of that. He would pick out the people that were following him out of his own heart, and he would make them their judge. That's what it's called. It wasn't called the king because they didn't have a king. They had one king. That was Yahweh. And so he would speak through the prophets and speak through the judges. And so that's how things were being run. So then we complained so much that, hey, we want to be like the rest of the world. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like... And so we want to have our own king. We want our own king. We don't want you to be king over us no more. We're done with you. We don't want to follow your laws. We don't follow your stuff. No way, man. We're not doing that. We're making up our own man-made way. So that's what we did. And Samuel said that's the worst thing you could ever do in following Yahweh. That was the pit. And he said once you did that, it was over. Because now you got men. You're following a system of men. Now, remember, we're talking about two systems, right? We're talking about Yahweh systems and now man's systems. So we see the Hebrews, all he's doing is exploring a little clearer of what is going on. That's all he's doing. That's what the Bible is there for. This has happened 2,000 years before the Hebrews came around. And when the Africans forsook him, then he said, okay, let me use these Hebrews. And then he gave a detail of what they did, the same thing we did as Africans, and the same things everybody else keeps doing. And they forsook Yahweh to the point that man was God. Man now replaced the position of God as king. So as we went along, then we found out that the kings were no good, and we found out that they had Samuel, Saul, which was the first king, and he became crazy. He must have been eating too much, blood and starch, because he had acid in his brain, because he had gone crazy, literally, demon-possessed, okay? So that's the problem. You get these demon-possessed kings and presidents and all that, and that's what happened. But this is just a repeat of history. That's the good part about this. This is the same history. If we look close, we'll see the same history being practiced right around us. And that's what this goal is, to try to make the parallels to see. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has happened, that is happening, has happened. And if you catch the pattern, it's nothing but a cycle. And you have to understand the cycle so that you can know what to do. So when this had happened, they set up Saul, their first king. He went insane. Okay, then David took over, and then David was being hunted by King Saul, even though King Saul was told that, hey, David's replacing you. He said, he's going to replace me, not over my dead body. So he went and started hunting down King David. And so we're wondering why the European pagan Christian church is hunting down Hebrews, African Hebrews, and wiping out all of the enslaving the Africans, then now poisoning them through vaccination, poisoning them through foods, having food deserts, bringing in only the McDonald's and only selling them at the most the blood and the starch so that their brains can be fried, because after you get acid in the brain. So this is how it operates. It's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. History being repeated. So when we look at that and we see very clearly that the Hebrews started gone, went insane by accepting Saul as their king. Then Saul is killing off David because he knows he's going to be the next ruler, and he knows that he's the right guy for the job and that he's no longer going to be right. And he got mad because he said that now my son, my children, is not going to inherit the kingdom. So to make sure that, you know, my children inherit the kingdom, and David, you don't take over, Jonathan will inherit the kingdom, wipe you off and everybody in your family. How about that? And that's what's being practiced today. They're trying to wipe the African Hebrews, the 144,000 that the Bible talk about in the last days, off the earth. That's what the European pagan Christian world is doing. That's what the church is doing today. And that's what the counterfeit European Jews are doing. So it's all insanity of what's going on. But the catch is, it's the same practice that was Saul and David. So David eventually runs for his life and has to flee into another country and all of that stuff. Then he comes back. Saul dies. Then he comes in, and they let him become half. The kingdom is divided. Half of them want David. The other half says, no, man, we got to take up Saul's king's son, and all of this foolishness. And then eventually, that mess gets cleared up. That's where you got the divided kingdoms at one time between King David. Then David kings unites the kingdoms together. And once he unites the kingdoms, then under his reign and under Solomon's reign, they are, living, pretty good. Then when that's over, then Solomon, because Solomon forsook Yahweh at the end, so Yahweh said, okay, that's enough of that. I'm wiping, your kingdom ain't going to be good for you no more. I'm cutting it up. So what did he do? He came through and he divided the kingdom. So under the next king, there was two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And out of the northern kingdom, that's where Jeroboam set up the false counterfeit feast days. That's where he set up the golden calf. That's where he did all of these different things. And there was no kings, you hear me? No kings in Israel in the northern kingdom that was ever righteous. None. Then you go to the southern kingdom where you had Solomon's son reign, continue after David. Then you had, under his reign, and under the southern kingdom, there was a few kings that were righteous, and a lot of them were wicked. So he was teaching us and telling us that these two systems that we set up, under the judges that Yahweh had and under the patriarchs and the Moses, was, hey, everything worked out well, and then now you guys set up this kingdom of your kings, and ain't nothing going right. Y'all killing each other off. And it's just like, kin killing kid. Okay? All we hear is about black kids shooting blacks. That's it. We don't hear about whites killing whites. They're not doing that, the kids. And you don't hear about us killing whites. You don't hear about blacks killing whites. No, you just hear black-on-black violence. And that is what we're talking about. That's the same thing that was in the Bible. that were the same groups of people. The Hebrews were killing off each other. The northern kingdom killing off this other kingdom. The other kingdom, the same thing. We just repeat the history to the key, to the core. Then Yahweh said that he was set up with both of y'all. I'm set with both of y'all, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. All right, northern kingdom, taking y'all off into Assyrian captivity. Boom. Southern kingdom, y'all ain't right neither. Okay, I'm taking y'all off and I'm throwing y'all into a Babylonian captivity. Okay, so this is why the Bible talks about that we're in Babylon. The Bible says, you know, last days to be Babylon. And that's where we are. Babylon is falling and falling. That's Great America and the European system. It's all falling, and that's where we are. I mean, dang. It is very interesting when you can see these parallels, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's all just repeating history all over again. Now, I'm sure most people never get this, but, you know, but if you didn't study all that stuff, you wouldn't know how to make the parallel. But anyway, so the Hebrews, the African Hebrews, in the Old Testament is killing off the northern kingdom, is killing off the southern kingdom. Today we have KKK called Kids Killing Kids. Kin. Kids Killing Kin. All begin with a K, KKK. So there we have it today, that the northern and the southern kingdoms are killing off each other. Why is that? It's all crazy. But because we are disconnected, we're in a system that we don't belong in. We're in a false system. So if we move forward, we find out that this system that we accepted, that we were conditioned to accept, that we fell into, Babylon, and then Yahweh says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, at the end of Babylon, I want you guys, I'm making a law that you guys can flee and go back to the country. You go back to building the city. You can go back to Jerusalem. And so he did that. So he made the law under Cyrus and Darius. He made two decrees under the Media-Persian Empire that sent us back. And so some of us went back, and a lot of us stayed in Babylon. We love Babylon. I mean, who don't want to live in America today? Everybody wants to come to America. Everybody wants, this is like the milk and honey, the superpower, the global, you know. So everybody wants to stay here in Babylon. And so basically what he had to do was he had to bring in Esther, so that they said that with Esther and that whole situation with Haman, Haman said, hey, I'm going to kill off all the Jews, man. I'm killing them all off. So he went to kill off all the Jews, and there was a decree to wipe out all the Jews. That's in the book of Esther. And so there will be a decree to wipe us out. There is a decree already to wipe out the African Americans who are the African Hebrews off the face of the earth. And as long as we stay in Babylon, that's what the whole deal is about. We're in Babylon. He called us out of Babylon. That's what Revelation 13 says. Come out of her, my people. If ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached unto heaven, I will reward thee double, even as they have rewarded you. But we want to stay in Babylon, just like back in that time. And the death decree went out. And Esther and everybody was praying and fasting and all that because Naaman wanted to kill him. And I mean, it was crazy. And so the same thing is with us. Today, we're crazy staying in this system. Staying in this system of destruction. This system has nothing to offer us except killing, murder, putting us in certain situations where we just die off. That's their whole goal. So it is up to us to decide which system will we live in. Now, how deep is the system? The system is so set up that we have the Food and Drug Administration regulate all of the food and have it such that they have urban planners who will only allow in the urban cities where we are, where there was what we call some people in the ancient days, at the time of Hitler, the only place that was called the ghetto, they put fences around the ghetto, okay? So we had the ghetto, and that's where they would put the Jews. That's what they said. So we are in the ghetto, and that's where we are, and we're stuck there. There's bars coming up, bars in our mind. There's chains in our mind. The chains are no longer on our wrists and our feet. They're on our minds, such that we don't want to leave Babylon. We don't want to leave the inner city. And they're saying, okay, urban planets, you're going to make sure you got McDonald's. You only serve them. You only serve them fast foods, and you serve them only blood and starch, because that's going to add acid to the brain, and they're going to go crazy. And we wonder why we got a high incident of ADD? It's really simple. Blood and starch. We're wondering why we are shooting each other? Because we've gone insane. And then we already found out that the vaccination people, the CDC, they said that they put together some vaccinations that have mercury in it, and it doesn't affect the females as much. It affects the males only, mostly. And then a select group of males it only affects mostly, which is African-American males. And most people don't even know that. So the system is set up to take you out no matter which level you're looking at. Now, some people throw up their hands and say, there ain't nothing we can do about it, so let's just, you know, fall in line. If they kill our kids, they kill our kids. If our kids go insane, our kids go insane. If our kids are eating blood and starch and they have ADD and they're going mad, then let them do that. That's what some are saying, okay? Some are saying, there's nothing we can do about it. No, there is something you can do about it. Guys, we understand already. Come out of her, my people. That's not what you got. You got to get out of it. I mean, you got to understand the system. So you got to make sure that you understand the food system and what foods you shouldn't be eating and what medicines and drugs you shouldn't be taking. Because all of that's poison. But they have MSG. It tricks your mind in thinking that you're hungry, and it tricks your mind that you become addicted to the food. It's just like somebody putting Coke in a Coca-Cola. They said that's what they used to do. They put Coke, literal Coke, in the Coca-Cola. And the people were addicted. And they were wondering, why is everybody buying Coca-Cola? Because they're addicted. They were putting nicotine, heavy doses of nicotine, in the cigarettes so that you could be addicted. And people were wondering, why is everybody smoking, man? Why? Hey. So we're wondering, why are there food deserts? Why isn't there, you know, all of these big farmers markets and so forth in the inner city? No, they're not having that. But do they exist in the other areas? Yeah. We got farmers markets out here in York, in the middle of York. They have farmers markets. But in the inner city, D.C., and Hagerstown, and all these other places? No. Okay? So, Baltimore? No. Okay, but the whole point is these are called food deserts. They're making sure that you don't get the right food, but you will get all the poison, all of blood and starch as possible. Whoop your brain. So, we were talking earlier, before we got on the air, about, okay, back in the 70s, what was happening in the 70s? What was happening in the 70s, the 50s, and the 60s? That's when they had the marches. That's when they had civil rights. That's when they had all of the stuff. They were jumping off, man. They weren't playing. Okay, then in the 70s, at the middle of the 70s, everything ended because they assassinated our leaders. And then they pushed drugs into our community. So our people were either going to Vietnam and coming back drug addicts, or they hung out in the city and they became drug addicts. And I saw it all around. Everybody that I realized, from my brother-in-law to my brother to other people, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, and them, they were alcoholics. The other ones were drug addicts, the next generation. And so it was like, wow, how is this happening? This was all planned, because they said that they can't have another Martin Luther and a Malcolm ever arise in the black community again. That can never happen again. We almost lost America. With them two clowns. And then you had the Black Panthers. And no, man, we can't have these black people getting free. No way. So they assassinated them, and they put in their own leaders. They said, if they can have a leader, we're going to put in their leaders. We're going to give them leaders. Ain't no leaders going to come up from Yahweh. Ain't going to be no Davids. Ain't not going to be no Moses. No, we're not having that. We're not having no John the Baptists or Jesus. No way. But they're coming. They are coming, and they can't stop them. But the question is, are we going to hear the voice? And they're going to tell us to come out of her, my people. Come out. He's going to tell us we have a lot to give up. We're going to have to give up a bunch of stuff. Yes. And what will we have to give up? We have to give up the blood and the starch. That's number one to get started. We have to give up the Food and Drug Administration, that fad diet called Standard American Diet. Look at the first two letters. They tell you that, hey, we're giving you a sad diet. SAD. Standard American Diet. So all of this stuff is right before us. And I remember, during the 70s, I remember clear as day. I was in D.C. I came down there. I'm looking for the, you know, the movement to continue. They said the movement's over, Emmanuel. What do you mean it's over? It's over. They assassinated the leaders in the 60s, late 60s, 70s. It's over. There is no movement no more. I said, wow. So, but there was another movement that was hit, that Yahweh was raising up. And what it was vegetarianism. Everybody was a vegetarian. My sister was a vegetarian in the 70s and the 60s. They, her and her husband, I came down. I started college, and I'm there. And she said, hey, we don't fix meat in this house. Now, if you want to cook it, you can eat it. I said, now you know I don't know how to cook. You and mommy, I don't know. I don't know how to cook. I said, she said, well, then I guess you eat what we got. I said, yeah, I guess I'll become vegetarian like the rest of you. So we was in an environment that even your family, who I was hanging with, were vegetarian. Then when I went to college, when I was up to college, then they had $10 bags of grocery you could buy from the co-op, and it would be just fruits and vegetables. There was no meat, it was just clear vegetables. Then you was at the co-op, I worked at the co-op, and the co-op, they would give you a discount, and they would have all the organic food and so forth. So all of this was going on. Not just that, we went to a church called we went to Tabernacle Church, and at the church they said that if you want to be a member of this church, you have to be a vegetarian. So we had even the church teaching us how to be vegetarian. They were giving vegetarian classes. My wife, before she wanted to be a vegetarian for years. She didn't know how to be a vegetarian. So they taught her. I was already a vegetarian. So it was like, hey, this is down. This is down. So we had every facet of society helping us. Yahweh had brought that to bear. So then all of a sudden we could take it to the next level, which we did. We took it to the next level. Okay, hey, the vaccinations, our kids ain't getting that. No, man, we having our own midwives. No, man. Well, where was that? Okay, hey, where could you do that? Hey, move out to Pennsylvania and hang out with the Amish and Mennonites. They deliver their old baby. They're separated from the world. So y'all open the job, boom, we move right in the middle of the Amish and Mennonites. Raise our kids. No birth certificate, marriage, no birth certificate, no social security number, no veggies, no, you know, no meat, all that stuff, all the stuff that come out that he was able to do. And but the key was that we had a support system prior to that, before we came out all the way. We had a supporting system that taught us how to be vegetarian, taught us how to think different from the world, taught us to be separate. And so this is what Yahweh will have to be raising up for the next generation, for this generation here. Y'all in the same situation? So I mean, but it's a little more tighter because y'all don't have all the support like we did at the church, at the community, at the college, at my family, my sister and her family. Y'all don't have that. But y'all have some of that. So for you to find a mate, a male or female, a mate that is thinking like that, it's going to be a little harder, but we had the whole system. So you still have to be called out from eating that garbage, from thinking the way they want you to think, of living the way they want you to live. And so that's why he calls us out of Babylon. And that's in America. We're the belly of the beast. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. That's what Elijah said. He rained down fire from heaven and told Israel, listen, choose ye whom ye will serve this day. Baal, then follow him. If Yahweh be the creator, then follow him. But you got to make a choice. And that's where we are today. Everybody has to make a choice. And you got to find a mate. Or can you find a mate that will agree with you? Or will you just be lost? And have the attitude that, well, there's nothing we can do, so we just fall in line. That's what they want you to do. But it's up to you to fight. But you got to decide if you want to fight for your family, you want to fight, or you don't. That's up to you. Every individual must make that call for themselves. But you got to know who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, and are you ready to take the next step? Amen. So I'm glad we were able to show clearly the two systems, the pharmaceutical world feeding you poison, administering it through the prescription drugs, medical profession, and then the pharmaceutical profession giving it to you, sorcery. So do you want to be sorcerized? Do you want to be possessed with demons? Do you want to be into the point that you cannot see, you call it truth error and error truth, that you will be so sucked up into, addicted to the foods and drugs that there's no escape? But that's your call. At one point, at one time, there will be no coming back. But the Bible says the mark of the beast is going to be set up. And if you think that you have been eating this garbage and now you're going to take a stand for Yahweh when you can't buy or sell, your body's not going to be useful. You're not going to know how to eat from the herbs of the earth. You're not going to know what herbs to eat. You're not going to be able to survive. So you will just sell your soul. So this is the catch. This is the preparation time. If God be God, follow him. If Baal can follow him, follow man or his spirit. Your call. Amen. All right, any questions or comments?
No, I don't have any questions.
Interesting. Thing is, yeah, I mean, even in movies now, you see, like, sometimes they'll talk about, you know, pyramids or this or that, that have, like, aliens and stuff in it. So that's an interesting point that you brought up at the beginning in regards to, well, if we don't know how it was invented, maybe aliens were here before, you know, and now they're depicting it even in movies. So interesting.
Yep, that's what they are telling us. If it was black, if blacks couldn't have built pyramids all around the planet, in South Africa, I mean, yeah, in Africa, all throughout South America, Central America, even in North America, they said they're fine. In China, yeah. So, yeah, they're saying that they had to be aliens to do this stuff. There'd be black people that couldn't have been that smart. No way, man.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because I guess the way you view it, you're like, how far have we gone back in technology, if you think about it, like, in that regard? Because if we can't comprehend or even do those things today, it's a legitimate question. How much do we lose?
Yeah, 100%. Yep. But we would like to think now that we're smarter than we also have ever been. But...
yeah, but... yeah, you think, I mean, even sometimes I think that. I'm like, oh, man, you know, you're able to connect with someone across the world just by logging in and doing this and that and stuff like that. So you got some really cool features, but think about it, at the same time, we're kind of destroying the world at a much quicker rate due to pollution, due to, you know, all these different things that is going on in the world and all these different things that we've invented to try to make things faster. We've been kind of destroying it at a very rapid pace. Whereas people before us who could, in many ways, coexist with the earth.
Yeah. That's true. And then we're making things that are...
Right?
Huh?
You heard what the president said, right?
He said that he has to save the earth.
He is dumping. Anything that saves the earth, anything that deals with sustainability is over. We are going to put more than ever before. We are going to destroy this planet.
I don't think he said that word for word, but I think he was implying that no more environment protection, no more looking into, you know, solar energy. We're going to build more pipelines. We're going to, you know, invest into our mines and coal. That's what we're going to do. We're going to invest into American steel, those kind of things. So, I mean, that's been the Republican viewpoint for a while now. I mean, they don't believe in global warming. A lot of them don't, actually. They think that's just all a myth.
How did y'all like that little Indian story about the Native Americans and how that happened to them?
Yeah. I'm sure it's right. I know it's right on.
Yeah, unfortunate stuff that's happened. So many people. I guess just for power. Kind of things that people do to for control and power.
Yeah.
Can you see how history is just repeating itself?
Yeah. Some people just never learn either. You have history for a reason. You're supposed to look back at it and be like, okay, these are the mistakes that these people made. Shouldn't repeat it. But it seems like
yeah.
Pattern.
Yeah, but that's only if you can see it. I mean, like I sat here and explained to you what happened in the Bible, which is happening again today. It already happened in the past in Africa. So it was like, learning from any of this stuff. We just read these stories and think they're just stories. You know, they don't have no significance.
I'm wonderful. Hi, how are you? Good.
Oh, yeah, true.
I mean, I just was, you know, as I was talking, Yahweh was giving that to me. So I explained it in that manner. I didn't see that before until I explained it to you guys. I didn't even see that before. He just gave that to me right now on the Shabbat. I said, wow, this is very interesting. This is really what's happening. So I'm going to write that in the book. I'm glad that we recorded it. Because I can see it down. I can see it clearly. The true system. Man. And y'all. And there's no in between. All right. If there's no more comments, we'll have a word of prayer. If someone offer that up.
Dear Heavenly Father, please bless us. Help us to have a wonderful day. Reunite us again safely. Thank you for all the things that you are doing and continuing to do. And reunite us again next week. Help us all have a productive and successful week. And we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Jabbar, you want to cut us off from the recording?